We're going to start with Hebrews 1:1-14. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he sat down, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath been hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels hath he at any time said, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers of flaming fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And now, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but not thou art the same. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels hath he said any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Art thou not all ministering spirits sent forth to the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Thank you for reading that. So, you read to us from Hebrews chapter 1, and we see a lot of things there. What he read, he teaches us a lot about Jesus, teaches us about God's word that's spoken to us. One of the things that you may notice as you read through Hebrews chapter 1 is that you don't see anything that's specific that says, here, do this. This is a command for you to do. You don't see any of that in Hebrews 1, but you see a lot of instruction. You see a lot of teaching and things about Jesus, about who he is, about how important he is. And from there we gain how important the Word of God, which He spoke to us. And we'll continue in Hebrews as we have for most of our sermon. But I want to ask you, have you ever dropped something? Well, of course you have. You've dropped something before, haven't you? And what happens? You just gets away from us. Things drop. Things slip and they fall. And you may wonder why I'm asking this, but as we look on into Hebrews, you'll see in the next chapter where this comes into play, why we ask these questions. We've all dropped things before. Things slip. I had these new mercury bulbs, fluorescent bulbs that they have instead of the incandescents. We got some of those, and I told the kids, oh, you have to be careful with these. The other ones would break, and it would be glass, and that's bad. You don't want glass. But these actually have mercury in it, which is a type of poison. So don't fool with these. The very first time I went to put them up, I had the one in my hand, but I dropped a whole other box of them and broke one of them. And so there I was, my first experience with these new things, cleaning up the mercury poison. But we all drop things. It happens. Let's look at those as warning from chapter 2 of Hebrews. Where we've been reading with chapter 1, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And that's when I asked the question about dropping things. Things slip, they get away, and we know what that means. Slip means that we didn't deliberately throw it down. We didn't deliberately let something go, and that's a good description for how we lose a lot of things in this life. They slip. They slip by. We intended to do something. We intended to take care of something, and it slipped by. We intended to hold on to something and to remember something, and it slipped their mind, we say. And this is the way we with many things. We don't say to ourselves, well, I'm going to throw away my good character, my good name. I'm going to throw away my relationship with my church family. I'm going to throw away my faith. Throw away my salvation. Throw away my soul. We don't ever say these things. No one ever says these things. But they slip. We don't handle them with care, and they slip away from us. And I was already working on this sermon, looking at this scripture and thinking about doing this for a sermon on slipping. And at work this past week, they were giving a talk, and the guy said, I want to, as he's talking about applications, he said, there's a difference between a slip and an error. And I thought, well, this sounds interesting, and it's very good, and it applies to what my point is here. A slip is an action that we didn't really mean to take. And he was talking about in web applications, maybe an error is where the user deleted an account that they decide later that they needed. But a slip is where there's something in your user interface where they accidentally clicked the delete button because they thought it was something else. And it's gone. So we understand there's a difference. There's errors where we consciously make a choice to do something that's wrong. But there's slips where we never consciously made the decision to do it, and we didn't realize the end result, and we made a mistake, and things slip. Well, here in this chapter, he's telling us this about slipping. Let things slip. You know, another example of slip is if I call you by the wrong name. They would say that's a slip in mind. I didn't really think that was your name. I do that. I call people by the wrong name. I say the wrong thing. Last week up here leading the song, I looked at this thing. It said 441. I said, song number 444. And it was a slip. And after I said it the second time, I heard myself say it, and I said, well, that's not what I read. But I slipped, and I said the wrong thing. And we understand that. But this verse is telling us not to let something slip. Don't let it slip. And what was it that he said, don't let slip? The things which we have heard. The things which we have heard. These are the things, the teachings of Jesus. This is referencing back to what Aidan read from chapter 1, where he's talking about Jesus and that God spoke through His Son. And these words, these teachings that God has spoken to us through His Son, don't let them slip. That's the warning of chapter 2, verse 1. Don't let them slip. The words of God. Don't let these teachings slip away from us. We've been reading in Proverbs on Wednesday night, Proverbs chapter 4 and 20, said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So he's telling about his words. He says, keep them before thine eyes. Keep them in thy heart. Don't let them depart from before thy eyes. And that's what we're talking about with slipping. Keep them. Don't let them slip. Keep them in our heart. And we'll do that by keeping them before our eyes. Now notice here he's saying this words. And before our eyes, it's a little bit of a contrast. We think about words as our ears, but he's keeping it in your focus. Keep your mind on it. Keep your eyes on this. Meditate on God's Word. That's what this is telling us in this Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, that we need to meditate on God's Word. And it's more than just listening to a sermon on Sunday. Meditating is more than just hearing it that once. It's studying it.
for ourselves. It's thinking about the teachings of the Bible, thinking about those teachings as we study them. It's judging the world that we see around us by the words of God, the teachings that we read in our Bible. It's about applying those teachings to everyday decisions. And that's meditating on God's Word. That's how we'll keep them from slipping, because we are always applying them. We're always thinking about them, seeing how the world around us is judged by them. Psalms 1 and 1 talks about the blessed man, but Psalms 1 and 2, referring back to this blessed man, he says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Meditate. That's what we have to do, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them slip away. Night and day, all the time, meditate upon God's Word, that they would not slip away. And this word, the Greek word here that's translated in this slip, I don't know how to pronounce that, but as I look up in Strong's, it says it means to flow by, made up of two words, one being to flow and one being in close proximity. So this word here, to slip, think of it to be to drift away. And actually that's the way that the English Standard Version, that's the way that they translated that there. He says, to drift away. He said, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Let it slip. Let it drift by. Without actually having hold to it, it just flows by us, and we don't grab hold. And that's what happens when something slips out of our hand. It slips away from us and falls, and we lose it. We let it slip away. In Revelations, where he talks to the different churches, in Revelation 2, he talks to the church of Ephesus, and he tells them several good things about them that they're doing, but then also he goes on to tell them something else, something that's not good. In verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They left their first love. They had lost what they once had. They had slipped back away. They were drifting. You might well think of it that way. They are drifting away from God. Though at the moment they have these good things that they've been doing, but they have a problem. They're not anchored. They're not holding on. And they are drifting away from God. He said, you've left your first love. In verse 5, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. It was a problem. This drifting is a problem. Losing this first love, not doing the first works, that's a problem. And it's a problem that he said if they continued the way they were going, if they didn't repent, he would come quickly and remove the candlestick. And as you study in Revelations, what he pictured the candlestick earlier and told you what that meant. That was the church. The church would be removed from them if they didn't repent and do the first works. If they didn't have that first love that they once had, because they've left it and they're drifting away. And then also in Revelations 3, as he talked to the Laodiceans, where they're drifting. He says they were lukewarm. They were neither cold nor hot, so he would spew them out. You see, it's a warning. Drifting. Letting it slip. It's a danger. And that's the reason why, as we look here in Hebrews 2 and 1, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed that we don't let them slip. The more earnest heed. Heed. We think of heed as beware of something. Heed, to hold in the mind. To beware, to be conscious of something, to pay attention to it, to apply ourselves to it. That's what he means. To give the more earnest heed. If we're not doing it, if we're not paying attention, We will find that we have forgotten things that we thought we could never forget if we don't pay attention. If we don't pay attention to it, we will find that we have lost things that we thought we could never have lost. If you're just drifting away, you drift away from things you thought you never could have left. Never could have drifted away. Peter had that problem. We know the stories of Peter. We know how that Jesus told him that he would deny him. And he says, I will never. And he says, though you will deny me. And Peter says, though I die, I would never. He's so sure of it. And then Jesus goes up to the Garden of Gethsemane and he tells them to watch and to pray. And Peter was not hearing the warnings of Jesus. He fell asleep. Jesus comes back to him and says, what, could you not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He didn't hear the warning. He thought, no, I could never. And we know what happens the next morning, or before the next morning, you might even say, that night, he denied the Lord. He fell asleep. He did not watch and pray. And if we don't give this more earnest heed, these things will slip away from us. The words of God that we studied will slip away. Our perspective on life that was given to us through the words of God will slip away. And we will drift away from God. But also, if we do focus, if we pay that special attention, there's good focus also. If we pay special attention, we will not be distracted by the things of the world, things that would tempt us away from God. If we're focused on Him, we won't see those things. It's called inattentional blindness. That's what they call, some people call it, psychologists, they do studies, and I was showing some videos yesterday where that you're supposed to have a specific task that you're doing, and you are so focused on that task, and they bring lots of other things into the videos. There's more than one, and there's different tasks, but you're watching this one thing, and you're supposed to be watching it, and it tasks your mind so that you don't even realize the other things that are happening in the video. Things that if you're later looking at it, you say, oh, how did I miss that? What happened? How did I not see this happen? I don't want to blow the whole thing for you in case you've not seen the video and been tested that way, but you would be amazed at yourself. How could I have not seen that? But it's when we're so focused on doing that one thing, we tune out other things. It's kind of like what they have in sports. When people play sports, they call it, he's in the zone. He's focused on that one task, and he's everything else. Doesn't matter what you throw at him, you can't stop him. Like they say, the basketball players, he is in the zone. The defense just can't stir him. If he's open, he's going to hit it. And so there's that more earnest heed. If we pay that special attention, we will not be distracted by the things of the world. And we will not let the Word of God slip from us, drift away from us. We will hold on to it. And as we think about this and holding on, as you go back and consider the parable of the sower, we know the parable there. There's the three different places that the seed fell. It fell on the stony ground. And then it fell in the ground where there was tares. And then it fell in the good ground. And I won't go through to read all this, I guess, but we want to notice some of these things as they fell in the good ground and as they fell. What was the difference between the three different grounds? What did Jesus say was in the difference in verse 15? Look at this. He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So they had an honest and good heart, and then they heard the word and they kept it. They didn't let it slip, and that made the difference. As he continues on there in those same verses, he says, no man, when he lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, but putteth it on the, or putteth it under the bed, but he setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. So it's a matter of how they held the word whenever they got it. They took care of it. They focused on it. They applied it. Then in verse 18 he says, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he hath. Take heed how you hear. That's the same words we're hearing in Hebrews 2 and 1. Take heed. Give the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard. Take heed to the words of God. Listen to them. Those that did not take heed, it said that they didn't take root. It didn't take root in their heart when the word was given to them. And others, though it may have taken some root, they were choked out by the cares, the distractions, the other things of life, the riches and pleasures of life, the cares. Those things choked out the word. They didn't take heed to it. They didn't focus on it, and it slipped right by them. It drifted right away and was gone. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Focus on God's kingdom. Focus on God's word first. Apply those things. As we are studying here in Hebrews 2 and 1, he said, therefore, the therefore that he's putting in here is referring back to the previous chapter and all the things that Aidan read for us. More than just the knowledge that's in chapter 1, it means the result of that knowledge, the consequence of this information that we just read in chapter 1, then we ought to do this thing. Therefore, because we know of how great God is, because we know of how great Jesus is, because we realize that these words that we have in our Bible are the words of the very Son of God. And that's why he's stressing how important Jesus is. And in all of Hebrews, you'll read this, you'll see the same thing over and over, where he's stressing about the new covenant and how great it is. But there's a point to that. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. When we realize who Jesus is, we will take more earnest heed to the things that he says. We will live by his words. We won't look at anything that he says and says and say, well, that's not possible. You know, we see that in the Gospels where that some of the disciples would say, oh, well, then that's too hard, and some would stop following. Not if you know who Jesus is. Not when you really realize the things that we read about in chapter 1. This is the Son of the God of God. He created all things and would never change. Though the skies and all the things that we call reality, he says they will get old and he will roll them up like a garment. And they will be changed, but he will never change. And that's the words that we have in our Bible, the words of God. And we see this in other places as we continue on reading here in chapter 2, we see this. This warning continues. He says, for if the word spoken by angels, that's referring back to things of the old that were spoken by angels, but if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgress and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So that's talking about the things that the angels brought, the messages from them, the things we can see in the old law, in our Old Testaments. If those things receive a just recompense of reward, then in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him." That's the words in our Bible. They will bind us. They will judge us. Jesus says that His words will judge us in the last day. And if we neglect them and let them slip by, how shall we escape? This is a warning. And this is a warning that we'll see in other places in Hebrews also. More of the same warning as He refers back in Hebrews 10 and 28. He says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite the Spirit of grace." The same warning again. When you realize the words of God and where they came from, and you look at the examples that were given to us in the old law of how that those people that broke that law were punished, and we'll realize how that we need to take heed to the things that God is teaching us now. To obey His instructions. We'll see the same thing again in verse in chapter 12 as He makes a reference back to how that God spoke off of the mountain before and He shook the earth and He gave the old law. Hebrews 12 and 25, it says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, once more I shake not the earth only, but heaven also." Don't let it slip away from you. Today we're so blessed to have the Word of God so easily. There are several Bibles in this pew. Bibles in the pews of this church. We have them on our phones. Aiden has it on his phone. We have it on several phones. We have lots of devices. We have so many easy ways for us to study God's Word. We could listen to someone else read it to us. We have these audio players. Don't let it slip by you and not take advantage of the opportunity that's before you to study God's Word, to hear it, to be changed by it, to live by it. We see a warning in 2 Peter. He says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ," so that's people who have escaped, that's people who've received the Word, the teachings, sounds to me like that's people who have become Christians. They've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "But after they've done that, then again we're entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Those that would slip away and backslide and drift, he says it's worse for them than in the beginning. Look at verse 21. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn again from the holy commandment delivered unto them." A warning for us to not trod underfoot, as he put it in the Hebrews 10. Trod underfoot the blood of the covenant wherewith we were sanctified. Or to treat God's Word or His instructions, His dealings with us as anything but holy. It's a warning. Matthew 5 and 13, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man." Don't let God's Word slip away from us. Live by it. Realize our salt. Realize our purpose in this life. If we neglect it, until it's slipped away and we've lost it. We become nothing. Good for nothing, he says here in this verse, but to be cast out. So what do we want to do from this verse, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1? What does this mean for us? Value our Bibles. Have a love for the truth. Focus our thoughts on the Word of God. Don't get distracted by other things. Get rid of those distractions. Meditate upon God's Word and be changed by God's Word and apply it. And that's our sermon for you this morning. As always, we want to extend an invitation. We don't know the hearts of people or what may be on people's minds, but if we need prayers, we're taught that we're to pray for one another. If we see we have shortcomings in our life and we need strength, we're to encourage each other and pray for one another. If anyone is here that's been considering and understands the doctrine of Christ and wants to become a Christian, to be baptized, we also want to extend the invitation to let that request be known as well while we stand and sing the song.